From the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet, Jared and the GM, with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
It is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. No, I am not Jared Stillman.
You got it, though. That time, you got it.
Put all the pieces of the puzzle
Everything.
Together.
Got the arms, got the voice, you got it.
I'm Ryan Porth, sitting in studio alongside Floyd Reese. Jared Stillman has the day off. He'll be back tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. We look forward to him returning from his little mini vacation this weekend. But Floyd and I have been talking about kind of where the Preds and Titans sit. And this hour, kind of want to focus on the Nashville Predators. And, you know, Floyd, you were in a very similar situation 18 years ago that David Poile was in now. And that would have been the season after you went to the Super Bowl and the 2000 offseason, where you just made it to the Super Bowl. The city is excited. You've got a great team that you feel like can go back to the Super Bowl. And you went out and got Randall Godfrey and Carl Pickens as two of your free agents. And one of them panned out. One of them did not.
That's being kind.
Carl Pickens being the one that did not pan out. Randall Godfrey was really good. He was a second-team All-Pro. But the Preds find themselves in a similar situation where they make their first-ever Stanley Cup final. There's a lot of buzz in the city. And with the loss of James Neal and a possible retirement from Mike Fisher, there is an urgency from the Preds fan base, especially on social media, to go out and trade for a replacement for one or both of those players. And the biggest name that has been in the rumor mill, not only for the last week, but dating back to earlier this calendar year, you know, back in January, is a guy by the name of Matt Duchene, former number 3 overall pick of the Colorado Avalanche. He's been in that organization ever since. He's been a fine player with the Avalanche. I don't know if he's quite lived up to the third overall billing that he had. He had a lot of hype coming out of the draft. And there are a lot of Preds fans clamoring for Matt Duchene. Now, we learned over the weekend when a lot of the scuttlebutt was going on that David Poile is not going to give up one of his top 4 D-men, and nor should he. I mean, P.K. Subban, Matias Ekholm, Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, that foursome was a big reason why the Preds made it to the Stanley Cup final. They're all young. They're all under contract for multiple years. You want to keep that core together. So Colorado's in a position now where Matt Duchene has been in the rumor mill for months, and it kind of seems like Colorado is at a point of no return with Matt Duchene, that you might want to trade him before it becomes a real problem in the city or in the locker room, where you've got a player that has been in trade rumors for months and it could go on for a full year, and you don't want to have that in your locker room. And, you know, Matt Duchene has 2 years remaining on his contract. The Avalanche are in a rebuild. Duchene is a good enough player to bring in some good pieces to the Avalanche. And if Joe Sakic, the Colorado GM, were to lower his demands from the Preds and not demand a guy like a Matias Ekholm or a Ryan Ellis or, you know, one of those core defensemen, trading for Matt Duchene for the Nashville Predators, while it looks great on paper and while that fills a need, a scoring need. I mean, Matt Duchene has scored 30 goals in this league before. That would fill the void of James Neal. Trading for Matt Duchene wouldn't guarantee anything. And I brought up your experience earlier in the segment because in 2000, you had an even better team than you did in 99. I mean, we were both looking at an ESPN.com insider article that listed the 2000 Tennessee Titans as one of the 30 best NFL teams in the last 30 years. And they didn't make it to the Super Bowl the next year. And, you know, it was one of the more gut-wrenching losses. I won't go any further than that against Baltimore in the divisional round. You're not welcome, because my 11-year-old self probably cried. I don't fully remember, but I, you know, when Ray Lewis had that pick six, that was a pick six.
Yeah.
I was devastated. But, you know, Matt Duchene on paper would make the Preds better. and who knows what they would have to give up. But if they get Matt Duchene, it doesn't guarantee the Preds are going to make it to the Stanley Cup final at all. You know, there's so much luck that goes into either a playoff run in the NFL or a playoff run in the NHL. And we saw that firsthand with the Preds.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, and Duchene, we've been talking about since the trade deadline,
right,
whatever it was, 6 months ago or whatever. It's been a long time. And I'm sure he's a great player, and I'm sure he'd be a great player for us. And so I'm not concerned about that part of it as much as I'm concerned about two things always become the issue, which is, one, what's it going to cost you from a personnel standpoint? That is, who are you going to lose off of your roster? And you say, well, you know, we're not going to trade any of the four defensemen. I understand that, agree with it, have absolutely no problem. But you really, really want them. Well, what's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you draft choices, and it's going to cost you the youth,
yes,
on the club. And I'm going to guess maybe more than one young player. And at some point in time, you have to kind of back up and say, wait a minute now. You know, this guy is going to cost me four players. Let's say two draft choices, two players. I'm just throwing numbers out. But so four guys there. And how much cap money that we just talked about,
right,
is this going to take away from, you know, insert name here,
right,
whoever is next in line to get a contract? And so when it's all said and done, and you think about the amount of resources you put into making a trade like that for a guy like that, I mean, it's costly. It's very costly.
There's no doubt. And when you go to capfriendly.com, a great website, a great resource for all things NHL offseason. I mean, you can spend hours on this website just looking at all the different possibilities. And for the Nashville Predators, the projected cap space right now is $22.7 million, which is a little deceiving because that doesn't count the contracts that Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson will be getting later on this summer as restricted free agents. So you assume around 11 or 12 million of that is going to be tied up in Johansson and Arvidsson, which means you're around 11 million. And then if Mike Fisher were to come back, that's probably another 2, 3, 4 million off that. And there are other restricted free agents that need contracts. Pontus Auberg, Austin Watson, Frederick Gaudreau. And if you trade for Matt Duchene, you're probably giving up some of that cap money somewhere in this equation.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not trading young assets and draft picks for Matt Duchene just to have him for 2 years, just like you didn't trade Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson for 2 years. You're going to sign Ryan Johansson to a long-term deal. You would sign Matt Duchene to a long-term deal, and that would eat into the money of the guys that we were talking about last segment of Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi. So there's more that goes into it than just this upcoming season to get Matt Duchene. Now, I would be the first to admit Matt Duchene would be an upgrade as your second-line center. Matt Duchene has been a productive forward for the Colorado Avalanche. Now, is he as good as people make him out to be? I don't know. He's been up and down. You know, it seems like it's, you know, 1 year he's up, 1 year he's down, 1 year he's up, 1 year he's down. You know, in 2013-14, he had 70 points. The next year, 55. The year after that, last season, he had 30, followed by a 41-point season this year.
Wow.
And a minus 34 plus minus. Now, the plus minus on a bad team like Colorado is going to be bad no matter what.
Right.
But trading for Matt Duchene may solve problems for the Preds, but it might create more. And not just this season, but years down the road.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to solve problem. I agree with you. But as you put it, it's going to create others.
Right.
You know, and maybe not those that you look at right now. But again, when you think about, you know, the people that you have to sign, because all of these guys, we were talking about the Titans and now the contracts all seem to come due in 2 years. Well, the Preds are going to be the same way. All these guys, that whole list of guys that Ian read that were getting, what do they call it? Are they called restricted free agent?
Correct.
Contract?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all those guys are going to want the real contract.
Oh, yeah.
After that.
Absolutely.
And there was, you know, 5, 6 guys on that list, all of the names that we know. So, you know, which of those guys are you going to want to keep? And, you know, even if you get great deals with those guys and they're $2 million a pop, I mean, that adds up quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, if you want to keep your young core together, then I don't know if Matt trading for Matt Duchesne solves that. I mean, you're going to already have to give up a couple pieces to that young core. If they're not getting a top four defenseman like they're said to want, then, you know, you might be having to give up a young guy like a Kevin Fiala or a young guy like Colton Sissons. And Fiala and Sissons are two guys that you want to be a part of that young core.
Oh, yeah.
For that next cup run.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you do have a cup run with Matt Duchesne, but it's not guaranteed, like we said.
And I think with David, you know, David, I'm sure when he anticipated losing a player, whoever that player was going to be, had it in his mind how this was going to, you know, play out.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure he's got it all step by step laid out. Now, does it ever go according to Hoyle? No, it never does. But at least it's a good plan.
Absolutely. Well, what are the Preds' options now that TJ Oshie is off the table? TJ Oshie re-signed with the Capitals on Friday. What are the Preds' options to possibly improve that scoring this offseason? We will get to that next on Jared and the GM. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Glorious. No, rolling right along, Jared and the GM on this Monday afternoon, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth sitting in studio alongside Floyd Reese. Jared Stillman will be back in this chair tomorrow afternoon starting at 2. And yes, that song is glorious, Floyd. That's your favorite song, isn't it?
It should be. I've heard it enough, I'll tell you that.
You know all the words to that song now, don't you?
Yeah, it's a great song. It really is.
So we've been talking about, you know, for the last hour or so about the offseason that the Preds are facing and kind of the future, weighing the future versus the now. And this Preds team, we would both agree, and a lot of people would admit, can win a Stanley Cup next year. Now, can they win a cup with the roster currently constructed? I think that's to be determined. I would feel comfortable going into next season with this roster if there were upgrades along the way, kind of like this past year when they added some veterans in the middle of the season. But if we were to say Matt Duchesne is off the table because the Avalanche are stubborn in wanting a top-flight defenseman in return for Duchesne, then the trade options are pretty bleak unless there's some available forwards that we are not aware of. So then you look to free agency. TJ Oshie, top free agent available, going into the offseason, has re-signed with the Washington Capitals, 8 years, $48
million. Wow.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
A lot of years. He's going to be 38 years old when that contract is up.
Wow.
That contract could look bad in 3 or 4 years. So the attention turns to some other free agents, and there is a drop-off after Oshie in terms of the free agents that would be available to the Preds starting Saturday. July 1st is the start of the NHL free agency calendar. But there are some names out there. And USA Today, Kevin Allen, came out with a list of the top 15 NHL free agents. Mm-hmm. And going through the list, it seemed like every single one of them, he was saying the Preds were a good fit because there are a lot of good forwards out there, none that would, A, break the bank, or B, you know, be a great coup in free agency. I mean, they would be solid additions. But the four names that he listed as good fits for the Preds were Justin Williams of the Washington Capitals, Joe Thornton of the San Jose Sharks, Nick Bonino of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Martin Hanzel of the Minnesota Wild. Now, he did have another player listed on the top 15. He was actually listed number one, and Ian made a joke in the break that said player would not fit in that.
Mr. Radulov.
Alexander Radulov. I don't think that's going to happen.
Probably not.
They've tried that twice. I don't think they're going to try that a third time. So when you look at the options in free agency, none are great. None would be huge upgrades. I think there are upgrades available. I think Justin Williams, he has scored back-to-back, or he has scored 20-plus goals in back-to-back seasons. He's connected to Peter Laviolette. His best NHL seasons were with Carolina when Laviolette was coaching him. But he's 36 years old, and a lot of these guys aren't going to settle for a one-year contract. So then the risk becomes that you're signing a guy to a 35-plus contract, which in the NHL is guaranteed money for the duration of that contract. So there's risk involved there. Joe Thornton would be a good second-line center option for the Preds, but he's 37 years old and is said to want a three-year deal coming off a torn ACL.
Sorry.
That says it all right there about what Floyd thinks about the Preds pursuing Joe Thornton. I think on paper it looks good, but, you know, I mean, he is 37. You don't know how much he has left in the tank. And
ACL.
I mean, who knows how he'd be in October? Although hockey players do get over the ACL injuries faster than some other athletes in other sports. Nick Bonino, 29 years old, third line center for Pittsburgh. I think he can be a second line center with the offensive potential. Not great, but I think he would be a little bit better than Colton Sissons, a little bit better than Cali Yarncroak. But again, what's the money? What's the term?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the question with all these guys. The other guy, Martin Hanzel, I don't want any part of. He's a fragile 6'6 center. The last 4 years, his games played numbers are 71, 64, 37, and 65. And he doesn't score a lot of goals. He doesn't rack up a lot of points. He's a defensive-minded center, and it would probably take a lot of money to get him. So we're going through all of these options for the Preds. If Matt Duchene is off the table because they're not going to trade a top four defenseman, like they shouldn't, you don't touch that top four. And these free agent options aren't great. If you're David Poile, you're probably sitting there thinking, you know, whether Mike Fisher retires or not, and whether you have to replace James Neal's production or not, you're probably sitting there saying, why bother on July 1st?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't. And I read through those four guys and what they've done. And I mean, they're all good guys, but they all have giant questions, just like you ask. And there's absolutely no reason taking the time to recruit a guy, to get him in here, to give him, like we were talking about, was Thornton that wanted the three-year deal?
Yeah.
And give him the three-year deal and then have him blow another knee out. And,
right.
You know, he's done. I mean, you gain absolutely nothing. And so I think sometimes it's – I used to – you know, you hear people say sometimes the best deals you make are the ones that you didn't make.
Absolutely.
And that may be the case here. And you know what? There's still time. And I wouldn't be in a giant hurry because it's not like – I mean, would you – could you look at this team and say, you know, I'd really feel better if we had a second or a third center. Or I wish we had another, you know, 20, 25 games goal scorer. Or we had, sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. That being said, I mean, the core of this team just was in the final.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not that far away. And I think... I think right now maybe a little bit of patience might go a long way because, you know, by the time you get into camp and by the time you get into the season and all of a sudden, you know, some club has an injury and they need a player that we can give up and they're willing to give you something in return, maybe solves all your problems. You just don't know.
Tennessean beat writer Adam Vingen will be joining us in about 6 minutes to talk about all this. But, you know, when you look at the team, like you said, a lot of the current core was the team that took them to the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
And they did make the Stanley Cup final. They won two games against the Anaheim Ducks without Ryan Johansson,
mm-hmm.
which to me was the most impressive thing about that playoff run, that they went out to Anaheim in Game 5 without Johansson and without Fisher and won that game.
Yeah.
And then came back here and got heavily outshot. They got outplayed in Game 6. And they still found a way to double them up on the scoreboard 6-3. Granted, there were two empty netters, but Colton Sissons of all guys, scores a hat trick in the Predators' clinching game to go to the Stanley Cup Final.
Timing's everything.
I mean, so perfect for the Preds to have a guy like Colton Sissons rise to the occasion like that. But this core, you're losing Neil. You could be losing Fisher. Right there, those are two pieces of the, quote, leadership group. And you'd be going into next year with a similar issue that you had at the beginning of this season where you didn't have a whole lot of veteran leadership. Now, the youth on this team is mature now. I mean, they've been through two playoff runs. They went to two Game 7s last spring, won one in Anaheim, lost one in San Jose. And this youth on this team, while they are in their early to mid-20s, they largely went on a Stanley Cup run and they were two wins short of winning the whole damn thing.
And I'm sure just going through this whole second season of playoff series, I mean, that's like you're playing a couple of seasons in a row.
Right.
So all of these young guys, having gone through that experience, are now, you know, much more mature than they were at this point in time last year. And so, I mean, I think you have to take that into account. I think, like I said, I don't feel the need to be in a rush to do much.
Right.
You know, let's go ahead and take our time. And because this is not, in my opinion, this is not a risk. You can't take much of a risk here. Now, you can go ahead and make trades and do things, but, you know, you can't bring in a 37-year-old guy that has, you know, an injury issue and pay him a bunch of money for 3 years and hope it works out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, it could really, really harm your team.
Right. And Nicholas on Twitter advocates for the Preds to go get Justin Williams in free agency, which I would be a fan of at the right price.
Yeah.
Justin Williams, he is 36, but he has been a big game performer in past postseasons with L.A. and with Washington over the last couple
of
years.
And he replaces your 20 goals.
Left by James Neal. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that puts, you know, that doesn't solve the second line center. You know, you'd probably still have Callie Yarncroke, which, you know, he can handle that for most of the season. But, you know, that would put a Craig Smith or Kevin Fiala on the third line and making that scoring depth that much better.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Colton Sissons, like you said, a second season, just like Lloyd Christmas in Dumb and Dumber, he totally redeemed himself in the postseason when he went out there and lit it up as Ryan Johansson's replacement. And even before that, he was awesome. So Colton Sissons, you know, maybe in a couple years he does become that second-line center that we're talking about the Preds should be trading for. Maybe.
I don't think any of us would be really, really surprised.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
We'll see if Adam Vinken would be surprised. He's going to join us next on Jared and the GM. We'll talk about all the Preds offseason happenings and what it was like up in Chicago for the draft and a whole lot more with Adam Vinken talking Preds on Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios, rolling right along, Jared and the GM here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth standing alongside Floyd Reese. We're talking Preds this hour. Tennessean beat writer Adam Vinken joins us right now. And Adam, for the last couple segments, we've been talking about, you know, potential moves that the Preds could be making or may not be making with some news that came out this weekend. Have you been surprised the Preds haven't done anything since the expansion draft when they lost James Neal?
No, because these things take time. Remember that last year, the genesis of the PK Subban-Shea Weber trade originated at the NHL draft in Buffalo in conversations between David Poile and Mark Bergevin. So I think a lot of people saw the moves that were made during the morning of the draft that Chicago made, trading Nicholas Jalmerson to the Arizona Coyotes and then reacquiring Brandon Saad for Artemi Panarin, and thought that there were going to be some fireworks. They were pretty tepid overall over the course of draft weekend. There were some big trades, Travis Hamonic going to the New York Islanders, from the New York Islanders to the Calgary Flames. And there were some trades before the expansion draft and right after the expansion draft. But, yeah, these things take time. It's not going to be a quick fix. And David Poile said on Saturday that he probably touched base with everybody around the league in terms of his colleagues at the NHL draft, and hope and came away with some hope that maybe something could materialize. But yes, I would not say that the fact that something hasn't happened now doesn't mean that something's not going to happen eventually.
Well, and right now it looks a little less likely that Matt Duchene would be an option for the Preds. I mean, as long as the Preds are unwilling to give up one of their top four defensemen, it doesn't sound like Colorado would be willing to accept any sort of deal for their center, Matt Duchene. So where do you stand on that with Duchene and what the trade market looks like if Poile doesn't dive into free agency?
Well, I look at the I look at that Matt Duchene situation as poor asset management by Colorado general manager Joe Sakic. He held tough during the trade deadline. He didn't find an offer that suited him, so he held on to Matt Duchene. And it seems like that's what's been going on recently, too, that he hasn't liked the offers that teams have been giving him for Matt Duchene. At least that's what he said to Denver-based reporters during the NHL draft. Now, he's sort of doing himself a disservice here, because the more he talks like this, the more people are going to be balking at his asking price, and he's not going to get what he wants. So it actually works better for teams that want him, in my opinion, because he might have to settle for less to take Matt Duchene. Now, I purposely asked David Poile on Saturday afternoon about, you know, people asking about his defense, because I wanted it to be clear to people who've been clamoring for the Predators to trade a defenseman for Matt Duchene to stop clamoring for them to trade a defenseman for Matt Duchene. David Poile is not interested in touching his top four defense, and he shouldn't be, because the Predators have reached a point, in my personal opinion, that they can no longer touch their top four defense without making it worse. They could afford to trade Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson, because Seth Jones was a fifth defenseman on this team. They could trade P.K. Subban for Shea Weber, because they were swapping players who played the same position. They're going to get worse if they trade Ryan Ellis or Matthias Ekholm or something like that. I don't think they should trade either of those players. I think that the defense is what made this team run. It's what got them to the Stanley Cup final, and they shouldn't move away from that. So to answer your other question, I look at the free agent market center-wise, and there's some okay players in there. I mean, of course, one that stands out is Joe Thornton, who has long, you know, been a member of the San Jose Sharks. He'll be 38 this weekend, I believe, and he's looking for a three-year deal, reportedly. I'm not sure the San Jose Sharks are willing to do that, so you wonder if you were able to get him for a couple of years. But he would be, if he were to come to Nashville, he would be the oldest player on this team immediately. And he's also coming off major reconstructive knee surgery, but he is a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer, and a great playmaker even at his advanced age. But other players out there, Nick Bonino, who just won another Stanley Cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins, is another option, even though he got hurt against the Predators in the Stanley Cup final. So there are options on the free agent market. It all boils down to what happens with Mike Fisher. I mean, they're going to need money to re-sign him if he decides not to retire. If he does retire, they do have some more money to play with.
Adam, do you how would you evaluate the need in free agency compared to taking care of your own and making sure that you've got enough money to sign some of these young guys and to keep them as a part of the program?
I think the Predators are confident with the depth that they have, because remember, this team nearly tied the NHL record for most players who scored a goal in the playoffs. And think about the types of players that they were getting contributions from. It wasn't just Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Johansson before he was injured. It was Pontus Auberg and Kevin Fiala before he got hurt, and Freddie Gaudreau. And you know, two of those players, Auberg and Gaudreau, are pending restricted free agents. So with James Neal off of the roster, they have currently right now roughly $22.7 million in salary cap space. Now, I would devote at least $10 million total to re-signing Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson. So that leaves 12.7 if we're saying 10. And let's say Mike Fisher comes back. That's probably another 4, so that's 8.7. Then you have to re-sign Austin Watson and Pontus Auberg and Freddie Gaudreau as well. So then you have maybe $3.7 million to play with. So, you know, you probably can't get a super high-impact free agent with that much money, but you could go out and get somebody that could help. The one player that I look at on the free agent market, and this is just me talking, this isn't any sort of speculation. One player that stands out to me on the free agent market that I think could be a good fit for this club is Justin Williams. Veteran winger, playing the last several seasons with the Washington Capitals, scored 24 goals last year. He is in his 30s, so he is an older player, but he's been very durable. He doesn't miss many games. He won a Stanley Cup with Pierre Laviolette in Carolina, and he's that kind of really good glue, bottom six veteran type forward, and he can play second line right wing on this team. You know, he can ostensibly replace James Neal. He actually scored more goals than James Neal did last year. So when I look at the free agent market, he's a guy that I think could be a good fit for this team if they decide to sign him.
Adam Vingan of the Tennessean is with us talking Preds on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Adam, do you feel like David Poile would be comfortable going into the October 5th opener against Boston with the roster he currently has?
I think, again, it really depends on Mike Fisher. I think if Mike Fisher decides not to retire and re-sign, I think if you went into that game with Ryan Johansson, Mike Fisher, Callie Yarncroke, and Colton Sissons as your four centers, I think David Poile might be okay with that. I think if Mike Fisher retires, they do need to find another center. I don't think that they can go into the season hoping to plug that hole from within, because they're also letting go of Vernon Fiddler. He will not be coming back. Wing-wise, I think they could be okay. I think the way that Kevin Fiala was playing near the end of the regular season and during the playoffs before he got hurt, I mean, I think he's got 15 to 20 goal potential. I think Pontus Aubrey has 15 to 20 goal potential. You hope that Craig Smith has a bounce-back season after his pretty nightmarish season this year. You always hope that Colin Wilson can reach his potential. I think on the wing, they would be okay. I think if Mike Fisher were to retire, they would definitely need to address the center depth.
Adam, even though it'll be a little bit of time before we can really evaluate, what was your gut impression with the draft?
Well, it's interesting, Floyd, because with the NHL draft, unlike the NFL draft, you know, you watch a lot of college football. You have understandings of who these guys are and what programs they played for, and you can watch them regularly. And same thing with the NBA draft, too. The NHL draft is really hard for those of us who don't follow junior hockey or Finnish league hockey or Swedish hockey, just because we don't really know who these guys are. Now, you know, their number one draft pick, Eli Tolvanen, who was number 30 on Friday, I think a lot of people expected him to go higher than he actually did. And when you're a top draft pick who slides a little bit, you know, you can see it both ways. The Predators are happy that they got a player who, you know, they did not expect to be there at 30. But why did he slip to 30 in the first place? I think he's a really good player. He scored 30 goals in the U.S. HL last year. He led the league in shots. You know, I feel like there's some Victor Arvidsson in this kid. But the thing with hockey prospects is, unless you're a super generational talent like a Connor McDavid or a Jack Eichel or an Austin Matthews, you're not going to make an impact as a teenager. You know, I think those who want to see what Eli Tolvanen is all about, you're going to have to keep watching him play minor league hockey or junior league hockey for the next couple of years, because I don't think he's anywhere near ready to be an NHL player.
Or at development camp this week at Centennial
Sportsplex.
Or at
development camp this week. Yeah.
where you just were. Adam, we appreciate you joining us today talking Preds, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Vingan does a phenomenal job for the Tennessean covering the Nashville Predators. And another hockey note today, Paul Kariya named to the Hockey Hall of Fame class for 2017, former Nashville Predator. We are certainly happy for him and receiving that honor. He had a good two-year stint here in Nashville, and it may have gone longer if not for the offseason of 2007 that really went sideways. But happy for Paul Kariya to be named to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I'll tell you what, it is such a giant honor in professional sports to get any Hall of Fame. But certainly if you play in the NHL and you get to the Hall of Fame, you've done something.
Caller number 5 right now will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Round Rock Express on Wednesday, June 28th, which is 2 days from now. So caller number 5, you're going to the Sounds game on Wednesday night. over at First Tennessee Park. Coming up next, Floyd and I will wrap this thing up by talking about his off-season approach after going to the Super Bowl and how David Poyle may approach the off-season after going to the Stanley Cup Final. You're listening to Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Rolling right along here on a Monday afternoon in Music City in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios. You're listening to Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth in studio filling in for Jared Stillman. He will be back tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Been fun doing radio today with the GM, Floyd Reese. And Floyd, earlier this hour, we talked about how you were in a similar situation back in 2000 in the offseason as David Poyle is in right now,
mm-hmm.
where back in the 99 season, you went to the Super Bowl and you came up just short. David Poyle's Nashville Predators in the postseason that just wrapped up went to the Stanley Cup Final, fell two wins short. And it seems like both franchises are in very similar states, aside from the fact that you were in the first year as the Titans, second year in the city. You know, the Preds obviously more established at this time. But the fact that the city is buzzing over this team, just like the city was buzzing over the Titans 18 years ago, 17 years ago. And when you look at your approach in the offseason going into the 2000 season, did your approach change at all, given the fact that you went to the Super Bowl and you felt, you know, this was a Super Bowl caliber team for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years?
I think it was interesting because really the first thing we did was to try to sit down and analyze if, in fact, we really were a Super Bowl caliber team. Even though we had gone, I think we had 3 years of 8-8, and then all of a sudden you're in the Super Bowl. You know, it's kind of like, whoa, what happened? You
right.
know what? And so we spent a little bit of time to look at it and go back and review it, analyze it, decided that, in fact, we thought we were of that caliber. And then the objective was trying to keep it together. And if you could find a weakness, if you could find something that you thought you could fix, try to, you know, find a way to fix it. But nothing, I think once we decided that, okay, we think we've got a chance to be that good, it's not, you don't want to change a bunch of stuff.
Right.
You know, you want to be sure that when you start earlier, like in your career or with a team, it's quantity over quality. You know, you need a lot of players because you have a lot of holes and you're not necessarily looking for the absolute best player in the whole world. You're looking for a solid guy that can come in and fill a role. Later on, after you go to the Super Bowl, in my mind, then it was all quality. And the only thing we looked for was somebody that made us better, which means they had to be better than the person on the roster that he was, you know, the spot he was going to take.
So you signed Randall Godfrey.
Yes.
That offseason.
Yes.
Great player. I mean, he was an all-pro second team in 2000.
He was a good player.
He was a huge factor on what was one of the best defenses that season.
Yeah.
I mean, probably the only other defense that was better was the team you ran into in the playoffs, which is Baltimore.
Right.
The other guy you signed was Carl Pickens.
Yes.
You signed him to a 5-year deal. That season, he ended up with 10 catches and 242 yards.
Right. How much did we pay him? Do you know?
Well, I'm going to read you an Associated Press article from July 27th, 2000.
Okay.
Wide receiver Carl Pickens has agreed to a 5-year deal with the AFC champion Tennessee Titans. Quote, "We are delighted to add a player of Carl's caliber to the roster," Titan general manager Floyd Reese said Wednesday. "You always look for playmakers on both offense and defense, and Carl definitely qualifies as a playmaker," end quote. He was not a playmaker for the Tennessee Titans.
How much did we pay him?
Well,
we didn't pay him anything.
The next sentence says, Reese did not reveal the financial terms of the deal. If you had just revealed the financial terms to the Associated Press 17 years ago.
We'd have been okay. Huh?
Yeah. I would have had an answer for you. I'll try to look it up.
That was not a good signing.
But despite that, you guys were awesome that year. You won the division. You went 13-3.
Oh yeah.
And you know, we mentioned it earlier in the hour, ESPN.com ranks it as the 17th best NFL team over the last 30 years. They ranked the top 30 NFL teams over the last 30 years. And the 2000 Titans were on that list at number 17. The 99 Titans that went to the Super Bowl were not on that list.
Right. I mean, that 2000 team was the best team that we had during that stretch. And the part that was sad was the team that knocked us out of the playoffs and ultimately won the Super Bowl is at like 23 or 24 or something like that down the line. So, you know, according to them, I mean, we just had a better team, and you're one, as in all games of this magnitude. I mean, you throw a ball, it bounces off of somebody's shoulder pads and into their hands.
That's the way it goes.
It's the end of the year.
And that's why we mentioned earlier in the hour, the Preds could trade for Matt Duchene if Colorado comes down on their asking price. The Preds, with Matt Duchene, could win the Central Division in the 2017-18 season.
Mm-hmm.
But breaks here and there, if they don't go your way, you may not end up back in the Stanley Cup final, just like you guys in 2000 did not end up back in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And then we played, we went up to New England, lost at New England. Was it the next year?
No, that was in 2003. 02 was the year that you guys beat the Steelers in the divisional playoff and then lost to Oakland.
Where we had the 14 field goals at the end of the game.
Then. Yeah. 14? I thought it was 15.
We had a few.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite the end game scenario there. But if you were David Poile, putting you in his shoes, the fact that they just went to the Stanley Cup final, do you change your off-season approach at all? The fact that you went to the Stanley Cup final, the fan base is craving another trip to the Stanley Cup final and having a different result. Does that change the way you go about this off-season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think he'll approach it the same way, and I think he'll look at it. And I mean, you know as well as I do, David is a very calculating guy. You know, David is not going to do something, you know, out of bounds, off the charts. I mean, he is very, what was it? I was trying to think of what Paul said. I think never leaves a stone unturned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Something like that.
Does
so,
all of his due diligence.
Yeah, does all of his preparation and all his work. So, I mean, he knows what's going on, and he knows what's out there. And he knows that, you know, to reach for a guy that you hope can maybe help you, that ends up costing you some money and ends up getting hurt or ends up maybe not being a good guy in the locker room.
Right.
You know, I mean, Duchene, how is it that they're so eager to get rid of this guy?
That's a really good question. You know, it's a valid question.
I mean, I always, whenever that happens, I'm always thinking, because he's been on the market 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's taking him. And you keep wondering, well, we know he's a good player. What is there something more to it? So, I mean, all of that would be a concern to me.
Absolutely. Floyd, it's been fun.
I enjoyed it, Mark. We got Ryan.
It's been a fun 4 hours.
Need to come back and do this.
Well, maybe we can work that out the next time that Jared.
You're the boss. You can do anything
you want. Look, I can put myself in the seat if I really wanted to. Jared Stillman will be back tomorrow right here on Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.